You know, sometimes you pray and ponder throughout the day and ask the Lord to give you the songs that need to be sung in each service. And but, you know, right at the last moment of time, seemed like that things can change. Things can change. And I just want you to know, Sister LaVon, based on what you shared with us, I want us to turn to number 350. Number 350 and do that song. You never mentioned him to me. When in the better land, before the bar we stand, how deep we grieved our souls will be. If any lost one there, hey! Well, I believe that King David put together one of the best bands in the Old Testament. So we're going to get just a feel of that tonight. We're going to let Sister Sherry play the organ and Sister Jeannie play the piano and put a two-piece band together and a good hymn. So let's ponder not about the band, but about the song that they'll do for us tonight. The Unseen Hand.
You go sing.
You're fine. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was thinking about Brother Wayne over here. He was supposed to sing a solo last night, wasn't he? And you didn't do it. So you said you'd forward it till tonight, so we're waiting for you. See, I feel responsible for knocking him out of getting to sing last night, so I... And I know he don't like to sing, but, you know, we put a little pressure on him while he'll come through. Mm-hmm.
I shared this at prayer meeting Wednesday night, my experience of salvation, but I was brought up under the gospel. As all of you know, Daddy was a preacher for almost 50 years, and he was the greatest man that I ever knew in this life, was my daddy. And he preached the gospel to me. But he wasn't helping in the revival where I was saved over at Capitol Hill when I was saved. And the title of this song again is, we only have one copy, so I've got to sit down here and try to adjust my eyes to it. Is Then I Met the Master. Like a babe when it cries for its mother, like a child I was helpless alone. Then I met the Master.
That's a beautiful song, and I appreciate Brother Strode and his ability to sing, and enjoyed the song tonight. I want to join Brother Buddy in saying that we're glad to see everyone tonight. Those who are visiting, of course, you're most welcome. I hope you know that, and we want you to feel free to serve and worship the Lord in our service tonight. If you have your Bible and you care to follow along as I read a lesson tonight, I want to read from the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I'm only going to read, I guess, about 4 verses. I want to read verses 9 through 11, and then I want to read the 17th article of faith that we as Missionary Baptist Churches subscribe to. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, or idolaters, or adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor covetous. Let me start over verse 10 again. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now I want to turn, a copy of the 18 Articles of Faith in my Bible. But I want to read the 17th article of faith, and it describes for us the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous, between the righteous and the wicked. And this says it's concerning the righteous and the wicked. We believe that there is a radical difference, radical and essential difference, between the righteous and the wicked, that such only as through faith are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and sanctified by the Spirit of God are truly righteous in His esteem, while all such as continue in impenitence and unbelief are in his sight wicked and under the curse, and the distinction holds among men both in and after death. Now, I want to talk to you for just a little while, and I don't think I'm going to preach very long. But we'll just leave that up to the Lord. And I want to talk to you about the requirements to go to heaven. The requirements to go to heaven. Now, the Bible says that we do not look upon men as God does. We look upon the outward appearance. We only see the physical. But God not only sees the physical, but He also sees the spiritual part of man. God looks upon the heart. And we might look at a person and the way they live and say, that person is really a good person, really righteous. But perhaps they may be very wicked. We can't see the heart. And you know, the Bible says this in the book of Jeremiah. It says the heart is desperately wicked. It is sinful. I'm going to have to turn to that. I think it's the 17th chapter of the book of Jeremiah and read that. I should be able to quote it, but sometimes I can't. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, God can know the heart. He can see every individual's heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows the intentions that we have. And even though, you know, we might appear to the world as being a very good person, yet God sees the heart. And that's what I want you to think about tonight. God sees the heart. And God is the one that knows the hearts of every individual. Only those who have been justified by faith are truly righteous in God's sight. Now, those who have not been justified and have not been saved are wicked in His sight. And it may be hard for people to understand that. Because, as I said, we just look on the outward appearance. But you know, all of us, we're born with the same nature, the very same nature. The Bible says, and I've quoted this before, but the Bible says that the wicked are estranged from the womb, and they go forth speaking lies as soon as they are born. And God knows, our nature. We are absolutely and positively prone to sin. The Bible tells us that Jesus came into the world, but He did not come into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world that the world through Him might be saved. And Jesus said, "He that believeth on the Son of God is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." And so I want you to think about this tonight. Everyone who has not repented of their sins and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, although they may appear to be a very good person, yet they are still, in the eyes of God, esteemed as being a wicked person because their heart has not been changed and they have not been right in the sight of God. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Jude, I believe, about the sow that returns to her wallow in the mire. And the reason she does that is because that is her nature to do that. The Bible talks about the dog that returned to his vomit. And the reason the dog does that, it's his nature to do that. And you know, the reason we sin, it's our nature to sin. The Bible teaches us, that men drink in iniquity like water. It's really easy to sin. You don't have to make any effort whatsoever to commit sin. But you do have to make an effort to keep from sinning. And I want you to think tonight, there is no difference In the natural state of any of us. Every one of us were sinners by nature, and every one of us needed to be saved. And I'm going to try to tell you by the help of God what it takes to be saved. We're all under condemnation. The Bible said that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. Even over them who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Now Adam sinned willfully. He deliberately sinned. He knew better. God had spoken unto him. And he had told him. He said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. He said, "For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And so Adam knew the consequences of sin. He did not have to sin. He was not predestined to sin. He had a free choice. And he could have avoided eating that tree, but he did not. He chose to eat. Of course, we know the Bible says that Eve was deceived by the devil. There are a lot of people in the world today who are deceived. And they do things, perhaps even thinking that it will be for their benefit if they do it. That's what Eve thought. You know, the devil said, you won't surely die. If you eat of that tree, your eyes will be open and you'll be as God. And you'll know good from evil. And he, in my opinion, my interpretation, and you don't have to agree with it, But my interpretation of that is that the devil tried to, he did deceive Eve into thinking that God was withholding something good from her. But my friend, God told Adam and Eve the truth. And Satan twisted it. And sometimes Satan twists the truth today. And he'll make people think that they are believing the truth when in fact they're believing a lie. But anyway, Eve was deceived. Adam was not. The Bible says that he was not. He was not deceived. It was Adam's sin that plunged us into under condemnation, brought us under condemnation. It was not Eve's sin, though what she did was a sin. But Adam was the federal head of the human family. The Bible said that man was first made, and then Eve. And so it was Adam's sin that brought sin and death upon the world. He sinned. He sinned deliberately. He sinned knowingly. He knew what the consequences of his sin would be. Maybe not fully. He might not have understood all the ramifications of it. But he knew that when he sinned, that he would be under the penalty of death. And so he did sin. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. We're all under sin. The Bible said God hath concluded all under sin that he might have mercy upon all. And there is a radical difference between those who are righteous in God's esteem and those who are not. I read in your hearing, and I want you to listen to this, and I don't want you to misunderstand it. I want you to know that the Bible said in the lesson I read, he says, now know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now we're all unrighteous. We're all by nature sinners. We're all unrighteous. Not a one of us are fit to go to heaven. My friend, in our natural state, God holds us responsible for our sins. And God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And Jesus said, repent or perish. And that's the way it is. If a person never repents, my friend, he is in the esteem of God or in the eyes of God a wicked person, because he has never repented and asked for forgiveness, and he is still lost, and he is still separated from God by his sins. And if he dies in that condition, he'll be that way forever and forever. Now the Bible says this in the book of the Revelation. It says, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Did you know that the way that you die, that's the way you're going to be forever and ever? You're not going to make any kind of a change after you've drawn your last breath. There is no such place as purgatory. Once you die, your destiny is sealed. Nobody's going to pray you out of purgatory or pray you out of hell. The time to get right with God and make peace with God's while you're living. And the opportunity is afforded unto people to do that. But listen, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And he said, be not deceived. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let anybody else deceive you. And he said, neither fornicators or idolaters or adulterers nor effeminate nor abusers of themselves with mankind nor thieves nor covetous nor drunkards nor revilers nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he said, and such were some of you. And he said, but ye are washed. but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Do you see the difference between those who are wicked in the eyes of God and those who have been justified in His sight? There is a big difference, you see. I want you to think about this. The Bible says this. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That is an exception. You know, those who repent will not perish. That's the other side of that question. Those who repent will not perish. That's what in John 3:16, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. That's verse 9. And then verse 10 says, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God has said in His Word, repent or perish. But you know, that's an exception that God has made. Those who repent will not perish. Those who will not repent will perish. That's the radical difference between the saved and the unsaved. Not only that, but Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's an exception. Those who are born again will see the kingdom of God. Those who have not been born again will not see the kingdom of God. That's the difference between going to heaven and not going to heaven. Repenting of your sins and being born again. And then there is another exception that's recorded in the Bible. 18th chapter of the book of Matthew and chapter and verse 3. Matthew 18 and 3. It said, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. So being converted is being changed. You know, this lesson I read in your hearing, Paul lists these people who had been committing these wicked acts. And he said, and such were some of you. But he said, no longer. You've been changed. You're not the same now that you used to be. And I'm going to say, when a person gets saved, it makes a new creature out of him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I believe verse 17, it said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So there has to be a change made, my friend, before you can go to heaven. Those who never experience the change will never see the portals of heaven. And that's why we hold revivals. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we plead with people to seek the Lord. I'm thinking now about Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. I believe it is the best description of what repentance is that you can find anywhere in the Word of God or elsewhere. And this is what Isaiah the prophet said. He said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now I'm declaring today that men have to turn from their own wicked ways. They have to forsake their own thoughts, have to forsake their own ideas, and they have to come to God, and they have to come to God His way. You know, the Bible said this in the book of James, I believe it is. He said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. It said, cleanse ye hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into heaviness and your joy into mourning. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. And I believe that's what repentance is. I believe that it is turning from your ways and your thoughts. God said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You may think everything's all right. Anything you want to do is all right. But though there are lots of the ways of man that are not the ways of God. And God said, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And if you want to go to heaven, my friend, listen, you can't go like you are. It's just that simple. You know, you are by nature a child of wrath. You know, I read this in the, I believe it's in the last verse of the third chapter of John. I may be mistaken. But this is what it said. He that believeth on the Son of Man hath life. He that believeth not shall abide in darkness. And it says, and the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, I probably messed that up. And so I'm going to get it right. And this is what he said. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Do you know the only kind of life you have as a sinner is physical life? You're going to die. We're all going to die. We know that. The sinner does not have eternal life. He does not have everlasting life. That's what Jesus promises to those who will repent. And are born again, and are converted. They're changed. That's a process. Repentance comes first. When you repent of your sins and ask for forgiveness, God forgives you, and he and you become born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, my friend, gives you life. You know, at birth, a new life begins. And don't misunderstand me. I believe that life begins at conception. But you don't start living on your own until you're born. Your life is coming from your mother until you're born. And then after you're born, you start breathing on your own. And a new life is begun. And so when you're born of the Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit of God, gives you life. The Bible says the letter killeth, that is the law, the Old Testament law. It killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And it's the Spirit of God that regenerates, that is, generates life again. Paul said, I was alive without the law once, but the sin. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now, he was under protection of the blood of Christ, though he had a sinful nature, and when he was a baby. And that's the way it is. Babies are born with a sinful nature, the nature of Adam. But they're under the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ until they reach the years that they understand, I must give an account to God for myself. And when you realize that, I don't care what age you are, when you realize that God is holding you responsible, and he has commanded you to repent, and he has said you must be born again, and he has said, except you be converted, you can't go to heaven. There is a change that is made. When people get right with God, they become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Instead of being sinners, in the eyes of God, they become saints. They become saints. You say, well, I'm not a saint. You better rethink that. If you've been born again, you're a saint. Not because you are really a good person and you do a lot of good works. That's another lie the devil has told the world, you know. If you live good enough, you know, you can become a saint. You know, there have been lots of people that have died that were really wicked people. And after they died, somebody granted them sainthood. They think. Only God can give sainthood. Only God can give sainthood. And when you're born of the Spirit and you're changed into that new creature, I tell you, you become a saint. And God looks at you as a saint. He looks at you as one of His children before you're saved. You know, Jesus told the Jews they were of their father the devil. And the works of their father they were doing. They really were doing the works of their father. They was trying to kill Jesus. That's what the devil wanted. He wanted Jesus, you know, not to fulfill the plan of God. Jesus came to die on the cross. And, you know, they wanted to kill Him. So He had never reached the goal that God had set for Him. Death on the cross. Dying for sin. The just for the unjust. So that men could be made just in the eyes of God. And so tonight, I want you to think about what it's going to take for you to get to heaven. You're a sinner, you need to be made a saint. That's right, that change must come. That change must come. I think I'll close. I think I've said all I need to say. But I want you to understand. I may not have done a good job explaining this. But the most wicked person in the world can repent. The most wicked person in the world can be born again. The most wicked person in the world can be converted and become a different person. And that's what happens when you get saved. That's what happens. If you're here tonight and lost, and you may not have heard that term lost before. Preachers don't, in our society, they don't preach much about being lost. They preach about your relationship to God. Well, I understand what that means, but the Bible term for it is lost. That's what the Bible term is lost. 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, or of Luke. I said it was going to hush, didn't I? But anyway, there's a parable, and Jesus taught a lesson. There was people criticizing Him because He was associating with sinners. Jesus come to save sinners. And they was criticizing. And He said, which man of you, if he have 100 sheep, will he not leave the 99 and go into the wilderness and search for the one that's lost, if there's one lost? He said, go search for him. And said, when he finds him, said he lays him on his shoulders and he comes home and he says, rejoice with me, I've found the one that was lost. Lost. Then he says, there was a woman and she had some pieces of silver and she lost some of them. And she swept the house and she looked everywhere trying to find them. And finally when she found them, she went to her friend and said, rejoice with me, I've found that which was lost. But then there's the prodigal son. You see, the prodigal son, he said to his father, Father, give me my inheritance. And so his father divided his inheritance to him. And he went out and he spent his living. He spent all of his inheritance on riotous living. Spend everything, having a big time. But you know, the time came when all of his wealth was gone. And he found himself in want. He had a need. He even hired out to a man to feed swine, feed hogs. One day, I guess he was down there feeding the hogs. And he got to thinking, Lord, what in the world am I doing? Why am I in this mess that I'm in? And he began to think about his father's house. My father, he said, he has servants. And he has plenty and to spare. He has more than he needs. And here I am in this hog pen, feeding hogs. He said, I know what I'll do. I will arise and I'll go to my father. And I'll say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm not worthy to be called a son. Just make me a servant. And you know what he did? He got up and got out of that hog pen and started home. If you never make a start to the Lord, you'll never find him. You have to make the start. You have to start somewhere. You have to forsake your ways, have to forsake your thoughts. You know, God has one way to save people. And you have to come God's way. Just that simple. And so he was on his way home. And the father was looking down the road. I expect he had been looking for that boy ever since he left. I suppose he had been praying. Now this is a parable, and I know that. But it's teaching a lesson. I suppose that father, no doubt from the day that boy left home, he had been looking for him to come back. I'm going to say from the day you reached the years of accountability, the first day that you became lost, God has been looking for you. He wants you to come home. He wants you to come to Him. So he was looking, and he saw that boy, and he went running to meet him. Now that's a picture of how anxious God is to save sinners. It really is. And when they met, his father embraced him, glad to see him. God will be glad to see you. Jesus will be happy to see you if you'll just come to him. And he fell on his neck, rejoicing. The old boy done what he said he's going to do. He said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your servants. And you know what the father's done? He said to his servant, he said, go kill the fatted calf. He said, go get the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. Let's rejoice. Let's be happy. This my son, which was dead, is alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. See? That term lost says a whole lot. It says a whole lot. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you've wandered away from God, don't make any difference what you've done. You may have committed some of these sins that these people that I read about have committed. You're welcome in the house of God if you will come with a repenting heart and ask God for forgiveness. God will forgive you. And you know what? He'll forget everything you've ever done. That's the kind of God he is. He forgives sin. And he forgets the sin. God will never bring it up again. He'll never bring it up again. You'll become his child, and he will adopt you into his family. I mean, he'll take you in and treat you as though you had always been his child. Now, that's what God does. He forgives. He forgets. He welcomes you into his family, and he'll be with you for the rest of your life. And when you die, I tell you, you'll be a child of God going home to God in the glory. Amen. I would like for us to have a song. I want to give you opportunity. I really believe that only the Holy Spirit can bring conviction. If I could, I would. If I could, I would. I can't even condemn you, you know, because I don't know your heart. I can't condemn you. But I tell you what I can do. I can tell you about one that'll love you and forgive you and will save you and give you eternal life and welcome you into his family. And there's no family like the family of God. Amen. Let's stand and sing.